This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Killer dad, Chris Watts, murders his pregnant wife, Shanann, and their unborn baby boy, Nico, and both of his little girls, Bella and Celeste. Tonight, bombshell, Chris Watts' secret prison bride. Who is marrying family annihilator Chris Watts? And to just top it off, steamy makeout sessions behind bars with witnesses. Ew. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
You have to trust me that when I tell you that these two beautiful girls right here, I did nothing to them, and to my beautiful wife, I did nothing to her.
I didn't think anything like that could happen. I don't think I'd ever do it, but I did. I put my hands around my wife's neck. I looked at her and I just got on top of her. And
how do you know she was dead?
I didn't find out she was disappeared, like she had gone missing until like he was being investigated. I remember I was doing a haircut at the, like, and it came on the radio. We were the radio we were listening to at work, and they had said something about like husband of, you know, Shanann, and they said Chris Watt, and I was like, that sounds so familiar, but I didn't think anything of it. And then I was scrolling through their Facebook, and I saw like a little article, you know, like I recognized his face. I kind of put the two and two together. I'm like, and that's like kind of just, you know, it kind of kicked off from there. I felt horrible for her and those little girls. You know, like that was initially, you know, just devastated on us. If he had the capacity to do that to his own family, like, you know, like I'm just, you know, some chick he messed with. You know, I hate the things that I let him do to me. I hate the things that I put up with from him. I hate the things that, you know, if getting away with what he was doing to me would gave him a little bit more confidence to, you know, treat the next one worse.
That is one of killer dad Chris Watts' many, many mistresses. That was Amanda McMahon speaking to our friends at Daily Mail. Now, whoa, don't get confused, because that is not the prison bride. Joining us, an all-star panel, the phenomena of who would move their whole family across the country to be closer to a convicted killer, much less a convicted three-time killer. Straight out to Ruth Bashinsky joining us, investigative crime reporter, Daily Mail, who broke the story. Ruth, who is the mysterious Lizzie?
She sure is mysterious, Nancy. So her name is Lizzie Henderson, and what we know about her is that she's a 39-year-old realtor. She was living in Cleveland, Ohio, just doing multiple jobs, and she basically was in a lot of, you know, different relationships with, it seemed like, older men. Nothing seemed to ever, you know, she never got married. She was pretty much living a single life. And we don't really know how she met Chris, but they've been together for, we could say since, with certainty, since 2024. And she basically picked up and moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Racine, Wisconsin, to be closer to the prison where he is going to be in for the rest of his life.
I wonder how that works. Oh, okay. I've got a question for the New York control room. Why is it every time we cover Chris Watts, you insist on showing him without a shirt? Nobody cares. Yes, that. Take it down. Now, I wait. Let's just have a little refresher about who is Chris Watts, who apparently is having steamy makeout sessions behind bars with his new prison bride who moved across the country to be with him. Dave Matt, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What happened to Shanann Nico, Bella, and Celeste?
Chris Watts strangled Shane Ann, who was pregnant with their son, Nico. After strangling her, Chris Watts suffocated his little girls, Bella, who was only 4, and Cece, who was 3. Then, after suffocating these precious children, he shoved them through an 8-inch hole into a crude oil container where he worked, leaving marks on their little heads from shoving them through the holes into those crude oil containers. And he buried Shane Ann in a shallow grave. That's what Chris Watts did.
We did it again. I like that shirt. Really?
Really.
That's awesome. So pink means...
That's just the test.
I know. It just says the pink is going to be girls?
I don't know. Just the test.
That's awesome.
No, idiot. When the line comes across the EPT, that means you're pregnant. The fact that the line is pink does not mean it's a girl. Out of all the women you cheated on Shane Ann with, and by the way, Dave Mack, it's not Shane Ann, it's Shane Ann. With all the women you cheated on Shane Ann with, you should know about pregnancy tests. That's Shane Ann. She had on an Oops, We Did It Again t-shirt. And he comes out and goes, really? Well, he went on to murder her, their unborn son, Nico. And that wasn't enough. All his whole family, including the 2 little girls. And speaking of, listen to Bella.
My daddy is a hero. He helps me grow up strong. He helped me snuggle too.
Bella and Celeste were horribly murdered, and they were stuffed into cylindrical oil containers about that big, about 11 or 12 inches wide. To Dr. Kendall Crowns, joining us, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County, Fort Worth, star of Mayhem in the Morgue. He is an esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU and has performed literally thousands of medical autopsies. Dr. Kendall Crowns, explain how the 2 little girls, Bella and Celeste, we were just watching, were de-sleeved. And what does that mean?
So de-sleeved is basically when you begin to decompose, your skin surface begins to come off. The bonds between the epidermis and dermis start breaking down, and your outer skin surface comes off. Now, the older girl, I believe her name was Bella, she also had abrasions on her body from being shoved through the opening of the oil drum, causing abrasions on her chest and back and buttocks as well. And also, if you look at her autopsy report, she probably struggled because there's injuries to her frenula, her gum line, from being smothered. And then she also has the oil in her stomach. So I think she was possibly alive and gulping in the oil after she was shoved into the oil drum.
Put up Dr. Crowns, please. Hold on. I'm processing what you just said because I've heard about the skin coming off the little girl's arms being de-sleeved. That I just checked on my notes and that container was only about 8 inches that he shoved their bodies into. But I had not heard that the girls had oil in their stomach. What?
So it's the older one. Bella has oil in her let me see what the autopsy report exactly says, but she has oil in her stomach contents. And she also on her toxicology showed hydrocarbons and oxygenated volatiles, which would be associated with the oil drum itself. So to me, it looks like she could have been alive, like he smothered her. There's bruising on the frenula and on the gum line, but she was passed out, and then he shoves her through the oil drum, causing the abrasions on her body. And then she may have woken up once in the oil drum and then drowned essentially in oil. Because you shouldn't have a positive toxicology result if you were dead, because it wouldn't be able to circulate into your body. And also, when you compare the two, Bella to Celeste, the younger child, Celeste, does not have any oil in her stomach. So she's probably dead when she goes in, whereas the older child, who obviously fought back because she's bit her cheek, she's got damage of her frenulum and gum line, she possibly was still alive when she was put into the oil drum.
Franz Borchardt, criminal defense attorney, founder of Borchardt Law Firm. Why should he get a prison bride and steamy makeout sessions?
I don't think he can. Wisconsin is a non-conjugal visit state, Nancy. So,
well,
I'm
guess
not
what?
Sure
he
what...
has. It's happening.
I'm telling you, they're not supposed
it's
to let that.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Don't do that again. It's already happened. How is it happening?
So Nancy, even though he's incarcerated for the rest of his life, he still enjoys the same constitutional rights that we do. That includes the right to have visitors, the right to be married, as sick and as disgusting
may be. Put him up. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Constitution, the pocket Constitution I carry with me. I don't see anything in here about a three-time, some would argue, four-time convicted killer having a right to conjugal visits. The Constitution does not have the word conjugal in it. In one place, would you like to tell everybody what conjugal means? Sex.
Conjugal means intimacy.
Intimacy. Okay, what? Look around. Are you in pre-K? No. Conjugal visits means sex visits. Like Jorn Vandersloot has with all the women that come to see him. I believe he's fathered two children since he was behind bars. That's what conjugal visits mean. Oh, dear. Take him down. The sight of him makes me ill.
Nancy.
That's what a conjugal visit is.
Not,
I don't see anywhere
not,
where the founding father said,
had conjugal,
yeah, convicted killers have a right to get it on.
But he hasn't had conjugal visits. Is there an allegation that he's had sex with this woman? I don't think there is.
Head blowing off. Dave Mack, can you please help Franz Borchardt? It's already happened. There are witnesses that saw the steamy makeout session behind bars on visiting day.
Nancy, in Wisconsin, in this prison, each inmate is allowed 8 to 10 seconds of physical contact with their visitor when the person arrives and when they leave. But for anybody who's familiar with how the prison system works and are witnesses in there that saw the makeout session, it can go much longer than the 8 to 10 seconds. Once you allow touching, it goes as far as they can possibly take it. And that's what apparently is happening. Guards just turned the other way.
To Ruth Bashinsky joining us, investigative crime reporter at Daily Mail, who broke this story. There are steamy makeout sessions going down. I don't know who this woman is, but before I get to who is Mysterious Lizzie, what can you refresh Franz Borchardt's recollection? In other words, talk some sense into him. It's happening. It's not supposed to happen. It's already happened.
Nancy is right, Franz. It is happening. They did get married somehow. We attempted to get those records, and what we were getting some pushback from, I guess, the officials in Wisconsin, because unless I was next of kin, they wouldn't release any information about what officially went down with Lizzie Henderson and Chris Watts. But what we know is that she was wearing a wedding band, a wedding ring. She legally changed her name to Lizzie Watts. And it just seems like, it seems crazy. I mean, I'm sitting here and this whole story is bizarre. I think we're all wondering the same thing. Why would she want to be with someone who is an absolute psychopath? I'm still trying to investigate that, you know, God willing, I'll find the answer at some point. But yeah, so it's happening in real time. And I'm sure she's still going to continue seeing him because now she's his wife.
You were seeing pictures of Lizzie Henderson, the blushing bride, from our friends at Daily Mail.
I was in a really, really, really bad place. And I got a friend request from Chris on Facebook. And I was like, oh, what the heck? I'm never going to meet him. Except, well, one thing led to another. And 8 years later, we have two kids. We live in Colorado. And he's the best thing that has ever happened to me.
That is Shanann Watts, pregnant with baby Nico at the time she was murdered and buried in a shallow grave not far from where her two daughters were disposed of in those oil canisters. Dr. Kendall Crowns, could you explain what is coffin birth?
So coffin birth is when a pregnant individual decomposes and the gases that are formed by the bacteria of decomposition causing the body to swell and bloat up. In the pregnant person, these gases begin to push on the uterus. And if it creates enough pressure, it actually forces the unborn fetus out of the birth canal along with the placenta. So coffin birth is a pregnant woman who is decomposed, and then the decomposition gas pushes the baby out.
Shanann had coffin birth there in that shallow grave at the Anadarko oil fields. Baby Nico was born. Both of them dead, of course, when her body was discovered. So now we've got Lizzie Henderson under his spell. We had Shanann under his spell. And here is Amanda McMahon clearly under his spell. What spell that is, I'm not sure, but listen.
He just kind of pulled the next to me, and he rolled down the passenger window, and I rolled down, you know, my window, and he was like, come in, or, like, you know, unlocked it. He's like, get in here, or whatever. He was very sure, very forward, very sure of himself. He was able to turn on the charm for anything he needed.
From our friends at Daily Mail.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I need help. A guy comes up, rolls down the window and says, get in, and you just jump in? Okay, to Dr. Geralyn Utter joining us, clinical psychologist specializing in psychological evaluations just like this, author of Mainlining Philly, Survival Hope Resisting Drug Addiction, author of Aftershock, How Past Events Shake Up Your Life Today, and producer and star of Utter Nonsense. Help me out. He rolls down the window and says, get in, and she just jumps in like curb service. You know, like at a Sonic, you pull up, you toot toot, and they bring you a hamburger, like that.
Like that, exactly like that. So I think it's important to pay attention to what she said after that. She said he was very forward, she indicated that he was very assertive, and there's something that I kind of want to bring to everyone's attention. There's a psychological concept, Nancy, called the halo effect. And the halo effect has to do with what somebody looks like. So people who are perceived objectively as more attractive or handsome, they tend to, like, positive traits get associated or attached to them. Whereas somebody who's less attractive.
Wait, you think he's handsome, Dr. Geralyn? I think he looks like Satan.
He looks like Satan to you, but there are people and women out there that find him attractive, and don't put me in that list because I'm with you, Nancy. I don't feel as though he's attractive at all. But there's a concept called the halo effect, a psychological concept. And that concept has to do with people who are perceived as attractive. It's hard for you to associate bad things with them. So if you're attractive and you're good looking, then people can't, you know, wrap around their heads that they could do something like this. They essentially get away with more, which is a perfect concept or quality to have if somebody perceives you as attractive, and to also be a sociopath, which is what Christopher Watts is.
To Ruth Bochensky joining us, investigative crime reporter at Daily Mail, who broke this story. Ruth, what can you tell me about the prison visit?
So, Nancy, I found this woman. She actually was visiting a loved one at the Dodge Correctional facility where Chris is staying in for the rest of his life. And she was actually in shock because Chris was a few feet away from her. She was with her person just having a snack. The next thing she knows, she turns around and sees Chris Watts with this woman. They were reading the Bible together. She was kind of having like a silent freak out, like turning around going, does anyone see what I'm seeing? This is Chris Watts. He killed his wife and unborn son and two little daughters. And she was kind of having like a moment, and she walked closer to him so she can see his name tag that said Chris Watts. And she told me that she so wanted to say to him, you're my hero. Daddy's my hero. But obviously she knew she would get kicked out of the facility if she did. But she was thinking what we're all thinking. Why is he allowed to have this so-called girlfriend, now wife? And she was just as, you know, agitated as we were, like thinking, how could this go on? And when I spoke to Lizzie on the phone, she was very angry that I was actually trying to find her. She was angry that I was reaching out to family members. She did not want to be called. She doesn't want to be in the public eye. She basically was very defensive of being with Chris. And she was saying like it was between her, Chris, and God. And that, you know, people could perceive their relationship as being very strange and weird. And Chris knows how she feels. But she said that, you know, basically it's really no one's business. And, you know, she's kind of like an alternative universe, I feel like. She just is in denial with these heinous crimes that he committed. She doesn't want to be in the public eye. And she's telling me she's a very private person. But meanwhile, she's with America's most hated person in the world, you know, killer dad.
Ruth Bochensky, I appreciate them reading the Bible together. But what about the makeout session? As Franz Borchardt says, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. It's called a conjugal visit, Borchardt. Is she the same one that saw that go down?
So when she was in the visiting room and she saw Chris Watts, she saw them. They're not allowed to have any physical touch during the actual visit. All they can really do is talk and hold the Bible and pray. But when it was time to, she arrived and when she left, they were literally hugging and making out and kissing. They were literally all over each other. And then they got to take a picture together. He pays for it out of his commissary. It's like $1.25. And, you know, she saw them. They were ahead of her holding each other for this prison photo. And, of course, I was dying to see that prison photo. I'll never get to see it, I hope, but never say never. She saw it with her own eyes, and she was freaking out. And I'm so happy that she shared this story with me, and I got to report on it. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe she'll be pregnant. Who knows?
We kind of connected or bonded over the fact that we were both going through what he told me, separation from his, he called her like his baby mama he never referred to her as his wife, like ever. I don't never remember him saying that. He took the angle that she was using the kids as a pawn for him and kind of just dangling him and making his life miserable about it. He'd call her a f-ing psycho and gold digging, just like any, like just shot that you could take, he took, you know, like he said that, her purpose in life was to make him miserable at one point. I knew, you know, what it was when going into it, and he made it very clear.
Okay, from our friends at Daily Mail, let me understand that, what I'm saying right there to Ruth Bochensky. There you're saying, get in line, of his many mistresses, that's Amanda McMahon, stating, we connected and bonded over the fact we were going through what he told me, separation, you mean they're still married. That's what that means. He called her his baby mama. It's a good thing I don't have a gun, because if my husband ever called me that, there would be some shooting. Okay, he called her the baby mama. Okay, what else? He never referred to her as his wife. He took the angle the children were a pawn, and he called her a psycho and a gold digger. She was the one working, having to travel out of town. She worked. She redecorated the whole home on a budget. She bought the clothes for the children. She took care of the children. She fed the children. He just showed up. What? And he's calling her the gold digger?
Well, it shows you how twisted his mind was. I mean, he was, you're not dealing with someone normal, clearly. I mean, you know, when Amanda met Chris, they met on Tinder, and it just seems like he was, you know, going through all these dating apps, and Amanda seemed like she was just part of his playbook. And, you know, when they met at the Chick-fil-A, we reported on this, and they went in the car that had the tinted windows, and then they drove to her apartment, and they had, you know, their sexual encounter. They were, you know, playing a really strange movie in the background. I'm sure you'll get to that. Shutter Island. That movie was so eerie. It was about, Leonardo DiCaprio was in it. It's about this marshal that kills his children first, and then he kills his wife. And Chris was the one who decided to choose that movie when he was alone with Amanda, having, you know, very rough sex. That terrified her, basically. Just like what went on in that bedroom, I just can't stop thinking about it, because I felt like he was enacting what he was eventually going to do with Shanann. So, I mean, I can go
like
on and
what?
You know, I mean, you know, she described it as, you know, he put his hands around her neck. He was choking her. He went from normal to crazy. His eyes just completely changed. And that he basically had this animalistic fury in him. So, you know, he like turned her around and wanted to do things to her that, you know, so violating. Like, you know, they were pretty much on a first date. You know, it's one thing that they got intimate, but how he was acting towards her was just completely so scary. I mean, it's hard to believe they continued with this 10-month relationship. But that's what they did. She was going through a tough time with her ex and custody of their kids. He was lying to her every minute. She was also addicted to prescription drugs. They were both in, she was in a bad place. She wasn't thinking rationally. That's why she chose Chris. But clearly he's a madman. I have no idea what Lizzie Henderson sees in him. And I'm just intrigued as the whole country.
When we met that first time in the parking lot, you know.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I knew it was going to happen. The whole thing was just off. It was like, you know, it was like a snap of a finger. Like, things just kind of changed. Like, he just got like, it's like something came over him, and we went from normal to crazy, like brutal almost. He just didn't look the same in his eyes. It happened way too fast, you know, and it threw me off. I wasn't scared like I was gonna die. I was scared like he was gonna hurt me, you know, like not intentionally. We only ever had sex like maybe two other times. I would always, you know, I mean, he definitely hit me up a lot more. And for that, we hung out a few more times without the physical stuff. He was extremely rough, and he didn't really ask permission. And like, he choked me pretty aggressive. It's really awkward for me to talk about all this. He had his hand on my neck when, and it, probably a few minutes in. And that's when it kind of turned a little crazy. So he had put his hand on my throat, and I get a little freaked out anyway. And he just kind of had this like animalistic fury. I'm like, oh, it was just hard. It was rough. And he just went into his zone. He just didn't look the same in his eyes. He took me by the neck, and he grabbed me from underneath. He pulled me up, and then he like turned me down, and it was very, very uncomfortable. It was weird.
That's from our friends at Daily Mail and the Trial USA. Well, the new prison bride, the mysterious Lizzie Henderson, is not the first woman to fall for and marry a convicted killer.
Until death do us part, a forever promise to have and to hold. But what if you can't hold them? What if they're behind bars for murder? Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, the Menendez brothers, Chris Watts, they all found love in lockup. As a victim of violent crime myself, these murder matchups behind bars are very hard for me to understand. Why do women marry men who murder? Why, with all the men in the world, would anyone ever marry a murderer?
It feels wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so thrilled, very proud, and a little relieved that the bulk of the day is over, and just hopefully I can enjoy the rest of my day in peace with Richard's family and think about the importance of what happened today.
That from our friends at Fox Nation, Marrying a Murderer, and from Hard Copy, that was Doreen Loy, Richard Ramirez's wife. But there's more.
Have you ever found somebody that you kind of feel like kind of saved you when you lost yourself? I almost feel like he's like my lighthouse. He guided me back to where I really needed to be.
Gonzalez admits he takes the butt of a gun and beats Thornburg repeatedly in the head, bashing his skull in and leaving him on the floor to bleed out and die. Gonzalez confessed and he pled guilty. In court, under oath, he pleads guilty to a brutal murder.
But it didn't matter to his prison bride, and we see it played out again now with killer dad Chris Watts. That's from our friends at Fox Nation, and you are hearing Kathy Gonzalez, Tattoo Gonzalez's wife. Joining us now as a special guest, Sherilyn Cadle, the author of The Murders of Christopher Watts and The Many Faces of Christopher Watts, a 5-year update. Sherilyn, thank you for being with us tonight. What's your take on the new prison bride?
Well, I'm not surprised. Back in early 24, she messaged me and told me that she was kind of with him and wanted to know what I thought. And I told her what I thought, and she ended up cussing me out and telling me I was so totally wrong. Well, at the very beginning, when I asked him about her, he denied knowing her. And when I told her that, she got really angry. And I didn't know for sure, because there's a lot of women that have messaged me and said that they are getting letters with him from him, and they're very sexual, and they felt, you know, this romantic tie to him. So I don't know about Lizzie here. She's not going to be the only one. I hope she realizes that. But a question that I have, Nancy, is, are those Shanann's wedding rings that Lizzie is wearing?
Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Okay, Ruth Bashinsky, these are shots from the Daily Mail, and with us is Ruth Bashinsky, who broke the story, the investigative crime reporter at Daily Mail. Is he using his dead wife's wedding band and rings with Lizzie
Henderson?
You know
what, Nancy? Liz, that is literally the first thing that went through my mind. I'm like, that has got to be Shanann's rings. I mean, where would he get them? But we are looking into that right now, Nancy, because I need to find out where those rings came from. I doubt they came from. I don't know where they're from, but it seems like it could be Shanann's.
Bashinsky, Ruth, I guarantee you this. He did not get them at the prison commissary.
I believe you, Nancy.
What, if any, financial gain could there possibly be to marry Chris Watts, a family annihilator, a guy that's had a string of affairs behind his wife's back? Let's think.
According to content creator Plunder, please go over, subscribe to her channel, give her credit where it's due. Lizzie filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy before moving from Ohio to Wisconsin. Why do I bring this up? And why does Plunder bring it up as well? I mean, we're not here to air dirty laundry. Like I said, a lot of us have known about Lizzie for 2 years and have said nothing because we care about this woman's genuine safety. It's not about going after her because she's with Chris Watts. We're here to be like, honey, we want you to find Jesus and get away from Chris Watts. But anyway, I digress. So the reason we bring up the Chapter 7 bankruptcy is it would show motive as to why would you marry Chris Watts.
To Sherilyn Cadle joining us, author of The Murders of Christopher Watts and The Many Faces of Christopher Watts, a five-year update. Sherilyn, isn't it true that Christopher Watts stated at some point during the investigation he took Shanann's rings off her finger and set them on the bedside table?
Yes, and I do believe that his mother ended up with him, for him. He has very few things that they were able to keep, but the wedding rings were... I will be so shocked if those are not the wedding rings that Shanann wore.
Okay, Dr. Gerilyn Utter, what does that mean? Who wants to wear a murdered woman's wedding rings and band? This has got to mean something psychological. I'm just a trial lawyer. So what does it mean?
If we assume that that's even true, I mean, with my experience working with incarcerated individuals and people who love them, a lot of the times the women who get married, you know, to men who are incarcerated or partners who are incarcerated are actually out there buying their own rings on their own dime. So I wouldn't be surprised if she purchased them herself. But I think I think the bigger issue here is, and what people are like, I don't understand how a person can do this. How can a woman do this? He's an annihilator. He's a sociopath. But this is one thing psychologically that you want to pay attention to. A lot of women aren't, this woman in particular, Lizzie, is not seeing the Chris that killed his family. Yes, intellectually, she has received that information and she knows. But what she's saying and what her own psyche is doing is she's thinking, well, I can get to the good man underneath. Like, I know that there's a good guy there. And I'm the one, me, Lizzie, I'm the one who has helped bring that out. And, you know, this relationship's going to be different. Another thing that is really important to understand is regardless if you're getting conjugal visits or you're getting a little sexy or intimacy or whatever you want to call it with someone in prison, the other thing that you want to remember is it does not test what happens in the real world. He will never be able to do to Lizzie what he did to Amanda and obviously what he did to Shanann. So him, you know, that dark, the eyes getting dark and having like sex with her and it being rough, it'll never get like that with her. So for Lizzie, it affords her the opportunity to continue living in this fantasy world that isn't representative of the real Chris. So you know, when people say, how can a woman be like that? It's because they're getting a version, not the murderer version. They're getting a different version of this person and they'll never get close to Chris Watts, the murderer. She'll never see that the way that other people in the outside world have.
I don't think that Ted belongs in jail. The things in Florida don't concern me any more than the things out west do.
You think these are trumped up charges?
I don't think they had reason to charge Ted Bundy with murder in either Leon County or Columbia County.
Are you in love?
Yeah. The paperwork hasn't gone through yet, but we already consider each other to be husband and wife.
People think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. I really don't care.
There are many who would look at Richard Ramirez in the eye and say he is the face of evil, mm-hmm. And yet you look at him and you see the man of your dreams.
Yes.
Who needs glasses here?
I can't help the way the world looks at him. They don't know him the way I do.
Okay, just a quick roundup. The first woman you saw is Carol Ann Boone, Ted Bundy's wife. The next is from our friends at CNN. That's Afton star Elaine Burton, Charles Manson's fiance. And the last one you saw is Doreen Loy, Richard Ramirez's wife. Okay, I'd like to just say, what is wrong with them? But they seem normal. To Franz Borchardt joining us, veteran trial lawyer out of the Baton Rouge jurisdiction. Could this be a ploy to dig herself out of a bankruptcy? Is that why she's with Chris Watts?
Or attention-seeking behavior? Because she's got a platform now. We're talking about her. We're on national TV, no less. So it could be that. Wisconsin has a Son of Sam law where he can't profit off of his crime. I don't know that it extends to her, Nancy. So can she profit off of her story? Yeah, I think that she can profit off of the relationship.
Yes, that's an excellent point, Franz. To Sherilyn Cadle joining us, author of The Murders of Christopher Watts and The Many Faces of Christopher Watts, a five-year update. You worked with him extensively creating those two books. Is he that charming that he could literally charm the pants off this woman?
Not to me, he's not, but I can see why some women who maybe have a need for the extra affection or attention, or maybe something happened in their, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not able to say exactly what happened, but why she would want someone like that, it's got to be attention seeking, like they've said, or that she's had something
hey,
in her past.
Look at your screen, Sherilyn. Look at your monitor.
Yes.
That's a sheet that Cheyenne yes. was wrapped in.
She had the baby in that sheet.
The dirt, the yeah. blood, that's where she gave birth to baby Nico. And then he just shoveled the dirt on her face. And somehow he's still getting women, even behind bars, a prison bride. Just a quick reality check to Dr. Kendall Crowns, esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU and a renowned medical examiner. Dr. Kendall Crowns, could you just remind us what happened to Shanann?
So Shanann had injuries of her neck that were consistent with a manual strangulation, hemorrhages in her neck musculature. So she was strangled until she passed out, and then her husband continued to strangle her for another 3 to 4 minutes until she was dead. Once she was dead, she was then buried in a shallow grave where she decomposed over time, her body's changing green discoloration, skin slipping off, filling up with decompositional gases that then created the pressure that resulted in the coffin birth or the baby Nico being expelled out of the vaginal canal. So she died a fairly brutal death because it's a manual strangulation. So she probably fought back and was just strangled until she was dead.
And then what happened? I looked at her and I just got on top of her. And
you got on top of Shanann?
Did the same thing.
Okay. Did you have to knock her down?
No.
She was already on the ground?
I just pulled her off on the bed.
Oh, kind of one move?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not as though you pulled her off?
No. Like, I went up, pulled her down, okay. And did that. I didn't know. I lost it.
Sure.
Okay. So Shanann was laying on the ground?
On the bed.
On the bed.
The babies are gone. And I put my hands around my wife's neck and did that same thing.
Did Shanann fight back at all when you did that?
The rage that I had after seeing that, like, not much.
Are they in the tanks? Can somebody who doesn't know what they're doing open those? Okay, it's easy to open
them. What's in the tanks?
It's a mixture of oil and water.
There was a sheet found down here?
Mm-hmm.
What is that from?
That was what Shanann was wrapped in.
What about the girlies? What were they wrapped in?
Just in their pajamas.
Just in their pajamas? Not their blankets or anything? Where did their blankets and toys and stuff go?
Probably flew away in the wind or something right here.
Where did you shut them or put them?
It was right here.
Shanann Watts, pregnant with Nico. 4-year-old Bella, 3-year-old Celeste, all dead. And he, their killer, has a new prison bride and steamy makeout sessions. We wait as justice unfolds. And now we remember an American hero, Lieutenant John Stewart, Lake City PD, South Carolina, killed in the line of duty after 21 years on the force, leaving behind his sons, Nicholas and Tashawn. American hero, Lieutenant John Stewart. Thank you to our guests for being with us, but especially to you for being with us tonight. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.